Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
In recent years, recognition and commemoration of the legacy of the tens of thousands of Irish soldiers who lost their lives fighting for the British military in World War One has been growing, and Evelyn O'Rourke has been to visit one neighbourhood in Dublin that has a special historical link with the Great War and are proud of that connection, which they will be commemorating next month. And Evelyn is here. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Claire.
So you were out in Colestor in North Dublin. Tell us more.
Yeah, I loved this. Really interesting. Went out there to meet the community, and it's just around the area, literally right smack bang where the Colestor Dart Station is. And this area has a unique connection with the war, as you're saying there. They live in an area called Colestor Garden Village. And this is an estate with nearly 300 houses that were built specifically to house Irish men returning from World War One, having fought for the British Army. And as we know, Claire, this is a story that wasn't spoken about for so many years. And many of the survivors suffered horrendous post-war injuries and their mental struggles were so severe. But it was also, as we know, kept quiet. But now a group of residents have come together here, and they're part of a growing group, really. But in this case, they want to proudly remember and celebrate their estate, its history, the men and their families 100 years on. And they're still direct descendants of those families living there, and they're planning this memorial for the 12th of November. So I went to begin my visit. I've started by going around the area, and then I saw the former Legion Hall, which is right there in the green in the middle of the estate. I was accompanied by some of the residents, including Imelda Martin. Now, Imelda's 90 years of age. She doesn't sound it, you'll be surprised. And she sounds great. And she grew up there as her dad had served in the war. And here she tells us more. And then she tells us a little bit more about what it was like to grow up there.
So Imelda, we're standing here, and this is the site at the hall, mm-hmm. and this is going to be the garden.
About time they did something for them. It was a lifeline for the men and the women of Colestor.
Show me exactly where I'd be going if I was going to your house.
Well, this is not the next house, the one after it, on this side.
So if I'd go down there to the left?
Yeah, yeah.
And how many houses along?
Two.
And you could literally do that blindfolded, I'd say, that
oh,
walk.
Oh, yes.
So you'd proper gardens and everything.
Oh, huge, huge gardens. They all grew their own stuff and everything. There. Across the green to the Legion Hall, yeah, and over to the shops. And that house, Mrs. Murphy's house there, she had a little shop, part of the house. She used to sell sweets and things. I was hoping somebody would drop money, you know, that we could find it.
And the chipper?
Oh, that was Mick O'Rourke's, best chips in Ireland. We had everything that was necessary. And my dad, James Martin, he was wounded in the First World War. He never worked after.
So, like, was he from Dublin originally?
Yes, he was. No, he was born in Belfast, and they moved to Dublin in 1884, I think it was.
And he fought in the war,
yes.
In the First World War.
Yeah.
And do you have any idea why?
Well, for peace, more so than anything. It's also guaranteed that the wives got some money every week. And the British Army pension was pretty good.
So for you then, you grew up here on these streets?
Every inch of it, yeah, it was lovely because we were surrounded by woodland and fields and farmlands.
And was everybody in the neighbourhood the same? Their dad or their grandfather had served?
Everybody was in the same boat, just surviving. But they were happy people. They got on with their lives.
Were the fathers mainly injured?
Yes. Well, a lot of them had lost limbs as well. A certain man lost an arm, another lost a leg. And it was mostly the mental state of them, you know, you could see it in them.
Could you?
Oh, yeah. But they never harmed anyone.
They'd really suffered, hadn't they?
Oh, yeah. So do the women. Now I have to stick up for them. For God's sake, they kept the families together in every way.
You could listen to Imelda all day, couldn't you?
No.
Great stories and great memories, and she's looking back with such fondness. But the houses, and what's really interesting about this is how the area was designed. It was a really imaginative way it was done.
Yeah, Claire, I mean, it was fascinating for me standing there because we discuss housing on the show all the time, grappling with it 100 years later. And then you talk to the people there about the designs. They designed these 289 houses, most of them bungalows, some second story, with huge gardens, because the idea was that these men needed space and a connection with nature to heal and all those things we talk about now. And it's such an oasis still today. The homes are beautiful. They were beautifully built, beautiful jobs done on them, a really peaceful area. And the history there, the estate was built by the Irish Sailors and Soldiers Land Trust. That had been set up in 1922 to provide houses for Irish ex-servicemen who'd fought in the First World War, like Imelda's dad. And I think there's found a figure, some 4,000 houses built across the country, or the island built on that mission. But I got to talk to Aaron Crampton, who's just 25 years of age. And Aaron is the main driver behind this project. He's the chairman of the Colestor World War One Memorial Campaign, and he told us a little bit more about the work and his connection with the Garden Village through his great-grandfather, John Brophy.
So we're a group of locals here in Colestor, mainly descendants of original residents. So my great-grandfather was given a house here in 1924, John Brophy, the number 90 Abbeyfield. It's around the far side of Abbeyfield here. He fought in the First World War for the British Army, obviously. He came here to live here after the war. And funny enough, like a few residents here in Colestor, he went back to join up in the Second World War. I don't know what it was that made him go back. Money, probably, definitely, because a lot of the ex-servicemen, when they came back, were unemployed. That's what I suppose. He kind of liked the adventure of it as well.
So, Aaron, you're serving yourself.
Yeah, I'm in the Irish Air Corps over in Baldonnell. I grew up hearing the stories of my great-grandfather, and I just wanted to follow in his footsteps and join up a military as well.
So you remember playing all around here as a kid?
Yeah, all of these quaint roads. And it's funny enough, it was all built purposely like this. You know, we're 5 kilometres from O'Connell Street, but if you were dropped in here, you'd feel like you're in the middle of the countryside. And that was done to help the ex-servicemen suffering with their shell shock. You know, that they'd go out and be in this countryside feel close to nature. They'd grow their fruit and veg.
It was really imaginative.
Yeah, definitely. The vision of Colestor, way ahead of the time. Like, this was the 1920s. They were planning this, the Colestor Garden Village. And even the Colestor Railway Station, as we know it today, the Dart Station now, that was built in 1923 for this new community. So it's fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating. So having grown up here now, I've always seen the history here of Colestor and the Garden Village as quite hidden history. There was not much online. All I had growing up here was the stories from my grandmother and other residents. And there was nothing here to recognise that, you know. So a couple of us started to get together, and then we came up with the idea of creating the Colestor Memorial Garden. And it's amazing actually to see the Dublin City Council staff being quite amazed at the history here, because a lot of them don't even know about it. That's their aim, is to get the story out there to other people.
Now, Claire, there are other similar developments across the country, but I'm told this is the single biggest estate. I also got to visit another home, this of Jerry Lee, a well-known musician in the area, and he explained to me how it's hugely significant for him to live in this particular area.
This is my house here on the left.
So that's the green behind us there at the Legion Hall, and you're down here to the left, and here we are, this is your house, and this is one of the originals.
It's one of the originals. It was a fill-in house. They were all built from 1922 to 1930. This would have been 1929. It's one of the last to be built. And there was, I think, 122 houses in Abbeyfield. I'm 126, so there was an extra 4 built in 1929. The significance of this house is one of the last, obviously, and it's a two-story, which are unusual.
Yes, because looking around here, I'm seeing bungalows mainly, and then yours is two-story and next door.
I suppose in the 7 years of progression, they decided like two-story made more sense and they could get more bedrooms in. This was a sergeant's house as well. The other houses in the main were for officers, and then there's some in the orchard which were for privates.
And tell me about living here then.
Well, my grandfather is from Killarney. He was in the First World War. He fought with the Connacht Rangers. For me, buying a house in Colestor, not knowing at the time, by the way,
I bought this house. You didn't know the connection.
No. So for me, it was a great feeling, and still is to this day.
Tell me about your grandfather's service, because, you know, in Ireland we've grappled with this story, haven't we? We haven't had great confidence around knowing how to mark and commemorate the men who fought.
Well, he passed on in 1975. He had shrapnel wounds to his stomach, spent 6 months in Black Rock Hospital recuperating before he went back down to Killarney as a postman. But he never really spoke about it too much.
They never did. No, I mean, that's what we hear.
They just kind of came back and got into normal life and carried on with their lives. So that's a great fact that he came back to civilian life. And I'd say served in the Defence Forces as a reservist.
But that's why I'm so impressed by this, the imagination of this. These are issues we can't deal with today.
It's a very clever idea, and it becomes more interesting that the land was actually given by a philanthropist to the trust with the backing of the Irish government. It's amazing.
Jerry Lee there, and the people you spoke to, they want to build on this unique heritage that they have.
Yeah, I mean, that Legion Hall, the garden, that should all be lovely. But talking to Meld about the damage suffered by the men, it's clear they had a terrible time and their stories were silenced, which is why they really want to commemorate this. So hearing it, Meld and Aaron told us a little bit more, and they talked about the effect that it had on their grandfathers, their fathers, their great-grandfathers, going back the generations. And here we start with Aaron, who had arrived to meet me with his great-grandfather's medals proudly mounted in a display case.
Yeah, so these are my great-grandfather's medals. They were in tatters and did need a cleaning up, but one of the reasons was these medals were always on display in my grandmother's house in 90 Abbeyfield on the mantelpiece. But obviously my great-grandfather suffered the effects of war and was an alcoholic, suffered from shell shock. So the medals and the box they were in were thrown around the room, you know, and that's the reality of a lot of these men here. They suffered, you know, with mental health and even physical health. But yeah, thankfully now I've had them refurbished and proud to present them, you know.
And tell me about that, because we all know that Ireland has grappled with the legacy of men who fought in the First World War. They were ignored for decades. And it's really only in recent years that we've begun to really understand what that story was. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It's great to see now that you can be quite proud of your relative that fought in the First World War, you know, for a different army. But, you know, at the end of the day, they were Irish men and women later on in the Second World War. I'm quite proud of that, and I always have been. I always was a big advocate through school, and others would talk about their relatives in the War of Independence. But I was quite proud of my great-grandfather's service he did. I wouldn't be here now if he didn't come back here and settle in Colchester. We were a bit of a colony, stuck all in here in the one area, you know.
And it was a real little community on its own, loved around here. So we were so free. I think my heart was always here.
When you look back now, the First World War was brutal, wasn't it?
It was brutal, yes, yes. And unfortunately, my poor father, when he got old, he was 96 when he died, but just before he died, a few years, the mind started to wander. He went back to the trenches.
It's shocking, I would imagine. Yeah.
Horror.
Did he ever talk about it during your childhood or growing up?
No. My brother then joined up the Second World War. And when he would come home and leave, him and my dad would go into the room, shut themselves in and discuss things. Never spoke about it to anyone else, you know.
And your mum, in the middle of all this?
They were the bosses, the mammies.
So her husband and her son served?
Well, that was the sad thing. All these women that spent their lives keeping families together and all, as soon as the Second World War started, the sons joined up. Now, there was a lot of lads killed, never came home from Colchester here.
You knew of boys who never came home?
Never came home. So I'm glad they're being remembered. They deserve it, both men and women.
Imelda Martin there, a fascinating history in Colchester in Dublin, and a lesson, it seems, in how to do housing as well. Evelyn, thank you very much.